Hello and welcome back to week six. How's your week been? I hope that you're starting to really notice some shifts and some changes and that you're taking actions on the goals that we talked about in the previous sessions. So let's get straight into your recap questions from the previous week. Remember, you need to set aside at least 30 minutes. It could take you a bit longer. It depends on whether you're doing this by yourself or whether you're discussing them with a buddy or with your coach. So how did you get on with your weekly questions, the ones that you were putting around the house to help you with your self-awareness? And what insights did you have around how you prioritise? Stop the audio now and answer those questions before moving on to the next couple. And were there any particular times you found that you were more likely to procrastinate or make excuses over the past week? Take some time to answer that question now. And as you know, these questions are in your workbook, so you can either follow along with the audio and do the questions alongside them, or you can just work with the audio and stop it at each point. It's entirely up to you. It's really important you do these questions before you move on to the next session. So if you did find that you were procrastinating or making excuses, what did you do to change that behaviour so that you could move towards achieving your goals? Remember, you're at cause when you choose, you're at effect when you allow excuses or things like procrastination to get in your way. So take some time and answer that question now. And when you checked in, if you were serious about achieving your goals, I hope by now you know if you are serious or not, we're in week six. What did you discover? Or what did you find out when you stopped and checked in if you were really serious about your goals? How did it feel? What were you saying? What were you thinking? Did you get any images or any visions of how your life could be if you were to achieve these goals? Number six, did any resistance show up during the week? Any resistance to any aspect of your goals or thinking about them or prioritising or planning? And if it did, what did you do about it? If you didn't notice, then maybe you need to add that question to this week's so that you can become aware if you've got anything pulling you away from your goals. But what my question is for you at the moment is, if any resistance did turn up or show up, what did you do about it? And when you looked at your goals, question seven, and when you looked at the gap from where you are to where you want to be, what steps did you identify needed to be taken to fill that gap? Now, if you didn't do that, then now would be a really great time to do that. So you've got your goal, and let's say it's an X on the left-hand side of your paper, and you've got a Y, and it's on the right-hand side of your paper. And as you look at where you are on the left-hand side, you might want to put a date underneath that. And as you look at the right-hand side of the paper and you look at the goal you want, when do you want to achieve that by? So you could do that now if you haven't done this already. And as you look at that starting date today and you look at that future goal and that future date, what, the thing that you want, what are the gaps that are in between? What's stopping you from getting from where you are to where you want to be? What are each of the stages that you're going to need to go through or move through in order to move towards the achievement of this goal? These are your journey goals. These are the steps or stages that you're going to need to consider in order to successfully achieve your goal. And this is all part of planning and organising, but in a really exciting way, because you're breaking it down into manageable chunks that show you, I need to take this action or this step before I can take the next one. And each one of these journey goals will have specific goals and specific actions and specific options attached to each one of them. And you might have two or three or four or five, or you might have 10, you might have more. It depends on how big the goal is and how far away it is. So stop now, this is question seven. And take time to work on that for each of your three goals right now. Look at goal number one. Plot it on a piece of paper, on a flip chart, or if you want it really something really big, flip chart would be great, or a piece of A4 would be fine. And look at today's date, and you can put an X there, or you can draw a picture of yourself, or you can put an image of you or a symbol, but put it on the left-hand side of the paper. And then either in the top right-hand corner or the bottom right-hand corner, it doesn't matter, be creative, do whatever it is that works for you. Then I want you to put the goal and the date you want it by. And as you look at the space in between, plot out what are the different stages or journey goals that you're going to need to consider in order to move you towards that goal. Please do that now. Brilliant. How did you find that? Now that you're back, have you found that that's given you more insight? It's given you a visual. It makes it so much easier and clearer for you. Have you found that you need anything else as well as knowing what the journey goals are? Again, give that some thought. And if you need something else, you realise you're going to need some extra resources or support or whatever, just stop and think about how will you get them. This is just a general overview of how we're going to get you towards your goal. And question number 8, have you started to notice any changes over the past 5 weeks? By now you really, really should be finding some changes are starting to occur, even if they're just little ones, even if they're just self-awareness, or which is a fantastic one to start with. Even if it's something like noticing that I say things to myself and I hear myself and I stop myself, or noticing that I'm thinking about what I want more than what I don't want. It could be very small, simple things like that, or you might have some bigger things that you've noticed, bigger changes. Please stop the audio now and note them down now. And if you haven't got any, please, please start paying attention and finding some. We're in week 6 now. And question number 9. What one thing did you learn from last week's lesson? Each week looking for you to learn something, looking for you to build on it, so that you've got X number of lessons and learnings. Because if you don't already know this, it's the lessons that allow us to grow and develop. It's the lessons that move us from our comfort zone into our stretch zone. And it's the lessons that will take us forward so that we can let go of mistakes and we can see them as something that can support us in developing who we are, standing very strong, being able to handle challenges. Whereas in the past, we may have moved into victim mode and into effect mode. We're able to stand strong and move into cause and start to develop who we are as people and feel that we can manage challenges and problems when they come along, and that they can support us in being able to develop our characteristics, our capabilities, our skills, rather than hold us back or pull us down. So what one thing did you learn from last week's lesson? And we're looking for you to build on these every week. And question 10. What change or progress have you made? Or what change or progress have you noticed during the last week? So now we're in week 6. You've probably started to get a really good idea of what you want and how you operate, what your behaviours and patterns are, and how they can support you or hinder you. You're almost halfway through. And if you continue to work with the weekly programme, you will start to see change occur. You can't not, because you're taking actions. You're making change happen. Are you keeping up with the sessions? If you're not, you really need to stop right now and think, what do you need to do to keep on top of them? Remember, in the past, this course I'm delivering to you was delivered over a 10-week period, and the results were significant. Just imagine how much more there'd be for you to do each week if you did this in 10 weeks instead of 16 like we're doing it. So today's session is about beliefs. And as you probably already know, beliefs come from all sorts of influences, outside influences. Some people think that we're born with our beliefs. Many people believe that our beliefs come from our families, our community, our religion, our culture, our friends, our peers, our significant others. They're programmed into us from when we're small children. And there's a lot of information that you can find about that if you're interested in reading more about it. But our thoughts and our beliefs, our values and our attitudes about what's right and wrong and what the world should be like and what it shouldn't be like and who we are and what our capabilities are, start being programmed very, very early on. And as I've already said to you, some people say even before we're born, and there is information out there around that. I mean, Thomas Verney in The Secret Life of the Unborn Child, he recorded expressions on the fetus's face whilst its mother was exposed to different experiences. And the little baby showed adverse responses when tested during loud rock music and when the mother thought about smoking or when parents argued with each other. And Lee Pooler says that 52% of intelligence is determined during pregnancy because the genes are selected so that the child can adapt to the environment that the mother perceives the child will have to handle. So the cells the child's developing can be formed in a state of fear or in a state of growth. Now in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, there's exercises that can take the individual back to the time when they were in the womb to help them release the decision to operate from a place of fear so that they can move on with changing limiting beliefs or achieving their goals if they discover that it's something that's way back in their unconscious mind that is stopping them from achieving their goals. So if that's something you're interested in finding out more about, you can either read about NLP or you can go see an NLP practitioner, or you can contact me and I can put you in touch with people who can support you with that if that's something you want to find out more about. Now, some people I've worked with and some people I've met have never ever thought about beliefs as a topic to be worked on. They've believed that beliefs are facts. Other people have shared with me that they were born with their beliefs, as I said, and like genes, they can't be changed. So some of the people I've worked with believe that their beliefs are set and what's happened to them in the past will continue to happen to them again in the future. Now, it's important for you to understand that if you're working on this program and you have that set of beliefs, if you're willing to explore that belief and see whether that's an absolute or whether that's just something you've never thought about before, then coaching can be a really useful backup project for you. But if you have a completely set belief that there is nothing that can be changed, there is nothing that can be done, your life is mapped out and it's the way it is and that is it, then you may not find coaching or NLP or other therapies as helpful as individuals who acknowledge that beliefs about the present and the future can be altered. So here's some ways to start changing old beliefs aren't helpful. We've already talked about this. You can use past experiences as lessons to be learned. By doing that, you can learn the lesson and then you can move on because you know how you'll handle it differently next time. And for some people, they need to work on letting go first, because if they're not able to let go, they're not able to learn. For some people, they don't need to be able to let go. They're able to learn. And for some people, they're able to learn, and then they can learn how to let go. So you need to work out what's your strategy. And if you think it will be helpful, it's a good idea to identify your original programming and conditioning that used to be useful, but is now outdated. So in order to start to change limiting beliefs aren't helpful, then you could think about where did this message come from? Where did this limiting belief come from? Was it conditioned or was it something that I picked up as an experience I had? And did it used to help me to think in this negative way? And even if it didn't, it doesn't anymore. So it's outdated. Its sell-by date is up. It's time to move on from it. And what I want to do is I want to place something positive instead of what I used to believe. Next point, to help you move on from old beliefs that aren't helpful. Recognize your unhelpful beliefs. Recognize your behaviors. Recognize your patterns. And ask yourself, am I willing to stop them in their tracks when I catch myself indulging in them? Now, you've already started this work, so this is more on self-awareness, which you've been doing quite a bit on already. So you need to recognise what's going on. You need to check, am I willing to stop it? And if I am, what do I want to do instead? So I'm going to replace what you used to do with what you are now wishing to do instead. And of course, the only way that you will be able to plant the new belief is through clarity about what you want and practice. If you don't practice, you'll go back to doing what you've always done. And you only got good at the old limiting belief because you accepted it as a truth and then you practiced it. So if you use that same set of skills for your new belief, over time, you should be able to put that new belief in place of the old one, but only if you keep up the practice and only if you really want to make that change. Next point. Know what you want and get really clear about why you want it. And again, we've already done this. We looked at this early on in a previous lesson. So get really clear about what you want around your mind chatter. Get really clear about what you want in terms of your goals. And get clear about the limiting beliefs that could stop you and what you want to believe instead. And the last bullet point. Set goals that support you in attaining your new belief. So if you have a limiting belief about yourself, it's a goal. Changing it is a goal. So you currently believe that you don't have enough confidence to go for interviews for a new job. And that belief will keep you stuck in your old job. So set a goal that says, I am confident at attending interviews in order to get, and then whatever job it is you're looking to get. And then you can do that X and Y example that I gave you earlier. You can put today's date, I don't believe I'm confident enough, and you can put Y on the right hand side of the page, it is now, whatever date, and I am confident at going for interviews to get a new job, and you've named the job. And then you look at, what do I need to do in order to move from where I am to where I want to be? Look at the journey goals, and for this one it may be capabilities, it may be skills, you might need to practice certain things. You might need to catch your internal dialogue, your mind chatter, and identify each of the limiting beliefs and start to change them into more positive ones that will support you. So set goals that support you in attaining your new belief. Lee Poulos says, you're not doomed because of your past. You're doomed when you're unwilling to change or be transformed. So are you willing to change? Are you willing to allow yourself to go through this transformation? You need to check that now before moving on. So, because of all the different trainings I've had over the years and the experiences I've had, my belief system says that we get a large percentage of our programming from birth onwards due to the constant input of our carers and what they believe. And they were given those beliefs by their carers, who were given them by their carers before them. Are you with me? So I'm talking about grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, great-great-great-great. You know, we can go back a long way. And just think about being a baby. You haven't got any language, so you can't share what you're thinking. And when you're a little tiny baby, all you know is that if you're hungry, you cry. If you're tired, you cry. If you need changing, you cry. You need your needs to be met. And they're basically to be fed, to be warm, and to be hugged, to be looked after. And hopefully you get the attention and you get offered whatever it is the adult thinks you might need. And sometimes they'll do all of those three things in the hope of making you feel better and stopping you crying. And all the time that they're attending to you, even at that tiny stage, they're programming you. Because they're talking to you. They're connecting with you energetically. You're picking up on their moods. They're soothing you and feeding you. They're hugging you or they're not hugging you. They're neglecting you or they're not neglecting you. They're being angry or upset with you because you've made them tired or you've woken them up in the middle of the night or they're unhappy. Or maybe they're really happy because of you and they respond to you verbally and physically. So that quite quickly, as you grow and develop, you begin to learn more about what's expected of you, what's expected from you, and how that person, that carer, will react to you when you cry, when you're hungry, when you need something. When I was studying child psychology and neuro-linguistic programming, I learnt that children want and need attention. They need to feel significant. They want to please when they recognise that that's part of how they get love, how they get attention. They want to be loved. They want to be noticed. And they learn quickly the things they have to do in order to get good attention or to get rewards. And they learn just as quickly what gets them pain or what gets them punishment. And this is called the move towards and move away from theory. And it's a powerful concept to get your mind around. You'll find it in NLP, as I've already mentioned. You'll also find it in the current psychology degree under motivation. And it's been popularized by Tony Robbins. And the idea is that the human mind is consciously and subconsciously motivated by two basic forces: the need to avoid pain and the need to gain pleasure. Now, if you think about it, every action you take in life is driven by a need to either avoid pain or the need to gain pleasure. If you've not thought about it before, you might want to give that some thought now. For many of us, the need to avoid pain is mostly stronger than the need to gain pleasure. Let me give you an example. I'm going to give you a coaching example. If I've got a new coach, and I was like this once myself, who wants to set up their coaching business, and they come in and they learn the skills, and they're very keen to have a successful coaching practice. And of course, if they have a coach working with them, that coach will help them get clear about what does it mean to be successful. So any words like that that you use about yourself, it's a really good idea for you to get clear about how would you know when you were. And so coaches know what it means to be successful, and how they'll know when they are. And so they set their goals around success. But what they haven't quite understood at this point, this is an example, remember, this is not true for everyone. What they haven't quite understood yet is that part of being successful means they need to go out and they need to ask people to employ them as coaches, or they need to go out and they need to set up their business asking people for business or for support or to be practice clients. And they're putting themselves out there in a way that they may not have done before. So when I was a teacher, I hadn't put myself out there and asked people to give me business, to give me work that they could say no to. And so what happens is new coaches, they think about the new successful business, all excited, all motivated. And then when it comes to actually asking, many of them will put it off. It's called procrastination, or putting it off for another day. And when you ask them what stopped them, they come up with reasons and excuses as to why they didn't do it. After all, successful coaching practice is pleasure. They're really looking forward to being a successful coach, and they're good at coaching. They've got great skills. They want to go out there. They want to help people. They want to make a difference. So they've got all this great stuff going on for them. But when you dig a little bit deeper by asking them questions, and when you check out what might be stopping them, for a large majority of new coaches, you'll be glad to hear they get over this, because there are plenty of coaches out there working and being paid for their work, thank goodness. But a large majority of them begin to realise it's something like rejection, the fear of rejection, that stops them from asking for the business or for the practice clients or to have some help or support. And rejection, if you remember, this topic I'm talking to you about is about avoiding pain and gaining pleasure. The fear of being rejected is stronger than the pleasure of being successful. Is this making sense to you? So it is a powerful concept. And if you find yourself putting something off, you might just want to stop and ask yourself, what am I fearful of happening if I take that action? So if I get the pleasure of succeeding with that action, but I'm not taking action, what's the fear? What might happen? And you'll find some exercises in a short while that will help you with these questions. What might happen that's stopping me from doing it? And it could be rejection, it could be embarrassment, it could be humiliation, it could be any number of emotional charges, that, or anxiety or depression. It could be any number of emotional charges that make you think, I'd rather not do the action for fear of this pain. Is this making sense to you? So you can read more about this in NLP and in psychology and Tony Robbins as well, if you're interested. So children are programmed very early on in life. And as that programming continues to be set up, and it's minute by minute, day after day, the baby has thoughts, the small child. It has images, it has ideas and experiences of those around it. And all these ideas have been planted into its little subconscious mind. And Bob Proctor says that the baby's programmed to think like the people it's surrounded by. And that creates a paradigm. And a paradigm is a belief system, or a way of thinking about yourself and others, a way of thinking about the world and how it is, a way of thinking about your family and friends. And this system of beliefs is developed and reinforced on a daily basis. Now, it doesn't take too long before it becomes a child's truth, a set of facts. Is this making sense to you? Now, unless you become aware of those limiting beliefs around your goal or your topic, unless you challenge them and do something different, unless you do that, you're going to be imprisoned for the rest of your life by your original programming. Now, if you're happy in that place and you've never come across personal development and you continue through your life and you're joyful about the way your life is, well, wow, that's fantastic. That's amazing. And I have met people who feel like that, who really do not need to make any changes. But if you're listening to this program, there's a good chance that you're looking to develop something or an area of your life and that you want to move on, or you want to have more of something, be it capabilities or be it skills. or be it material things. Now, I have never seen anything given as much unconscious as well as conscious time and attention as the messages are programmed into a small child. Just stop and think. If you haven't got children yourself, maybe you know someone who has. And even if you have and you've forgotten, just start to watch when you're out. Just start to listen to the constant feedback children get from parents. The messages about whether they're good enough or not good enough, or, oh, what can you do with them? Or, don't do that, stupid. Or, stop doing that, you'll hurt yourself. Or, it's like lots and lots and lots. And they're not just said once. They're said again and again and again and again. And they're just constant. And the daily programming that goes on, often without the adult evaluating or thinking about it or being challenged on what's been said, is programming that child and moulding that child into a specific and set way. I have to tell you, when I had my children and they were very young, my daughter was maybe one and my son four, I remember there being a family video. And we used to video the kids quite often, as many parents I know do. And I remember when that video was played back, this was just a half an hour in the kitchen, and I was fine in terms of I was in a good place and everyone was happy. But when I heard it back, it was frightening how many times I was telling my children, no, don't do this, don't do that. Oh my goodness, I can't believe you're doing that. And this stream of verbal words that were anything but encouraging. And yet I thought of myself as being quite positive. But it was amazing. I had no awareness, no conscious awareness about it at all. And that video, I can still remember watching that in my mind now. That video changed my life and changed my parenting. Because from that, and I wasn't heavily involved in psychology or heavily involved in, I didn't know anything about coaching back then at all. But watching that, I thought, oh my goodness, is that me? I'm nagging my children. And from that, I started to become aware and catch myself and start to change the way I spoke to my children in terms of more positive input, as well as keeping them safe and preventing them from hurting themselves, of course, but starting to talk to them in a slightly different way. So I wonder if you can become aware of perhaps your original programming, how you were talked to, and whether you were given consistent positive messages that were backed up with evidence about yourself and your world, which would enable you, according to Oliver James, to have good self-esteem. Or whether you were a little bit less lucky and you might have had some inconsistent or negative messages given to you about yourself or life or people, and maybe you're still operating from that place. And you just didn't recognize it, you didn't notice it. And Oliver James says that around 50% of the population have poor self-esteem, and around 50% obviously have good self-esteem. Just becoming aware can really start to open new doors for you, giving you opportunities to make change happen. So, you've been programmed, whatever way you have. And from the ages of 2 to 6, you're programmed whilst in the creative and imaginative state of theta. That's a brainwave. And then from 6 until 12, when you're in the hypnotic alpha brainwave state, which is the daydreaming and highly suggestible pleasure-seeking state, you continued to adopt, accept, and be influenced by the messages of those around you. So that by the time you get to an age where you can start to think for yourself, you'll naturally look to your original frame of reference to check if what you're thinking is right and if the thoughts you're thinking complement the upbringing you've had. You'll look for children who'll like you, and you'll make decisions when you're old enough to that work with what you've been taught is right. Is this making sense to you? Can you see how this can impact on your goals, on your expectations for yourself, and how it can stop you from taking certain actions based on your programming? Now, as an aside, if you stay in that way of thinking, if you aren't open to questioning it, it could mean that you think your way is always right. And if you do think that, that means another person's way has got to be wrong. Now, what happens when you want to communicate or when you want to have a relationship with someone if both of you think that the way you were brought up is the right way, but your partner or your colleague's way was wrong. What happens to communication? And who's right? And so many challenges that I've noticed in communications. I've said I've gone off a tangent here a little bit, but so many challenges, and I've been guilty of this myself as well, is about proving that my way is right and your way is wrong. Well, of course, that's going to start battles and wars. So I'm bringing this to your attention because, again, your programming is what's normal to you, what's natural to you. But who says the way you were programmed was any more right than the way someone else has programmed? And who says that their way was right and your way was wrong? Now, I'm sharing this with you because if you do decide to challenge some of your messages from the past or some of the things that you were taught as a child that were right then but no longer suit your needs now, then just being aware of other people's models of the world, their way being right, is going to open up opportunities for you to relate and communicate with people more effectively and allow you to start to challenge some of your own messages and some of the things that you may have taken for granted as being the right thing. So one of my clients had some goals that she wanted to achieve, but she said, people like us don't get to do things like that. Now, that message, when we talked about it a little bit more, and I asked her, when did she decide that was true? She just said, well, it's just the way it is. And so when did you decide it's just the way it is? And that question caused her to say, well, I don't know that I ever did. I think it's just the way I was brought up. You see, there's no thought given to it. It's just accepted. And that's okay. That's fine. But now she wanted to set a goal that went outside of people like us don't do things like that, which was to set up her own business and to move herself forward in a different direction. That old belief didn't serve her anymore. Just by recognizing it, she was able to challenge it. It wasn't easy, but she could challenge it. And she had an aha moment of, well, why does that have to be true? It doesn't have to be true. And of course, when she's moved on from that, that block is no longer there. And if it comes back every now and again in the form of a mum or a dad saying the words, which were said more than once, then she can go, well, yeah, maybe that used to be true for me. But now things are different. I'm grown up. I'm making my own choices. Is this all making sense to you? So I'm asking you to think about and notice any messages that you may have been given that could stop you with the goals that you've already picked, bringing you back to the goals that you selected. Okay, so my main point is, if you've got limiting beliefs or if you've got doubts about yourself or your goals based on what you were told by supposedly wiser carers whilst you're a young child in a trance-like state, it might just be time for you to challenge them. Knowing this, it can be useful because it allows you to question messages like my client I've just mentioned that you've been given about life or about yourself that could hurt you or stop you from achieving the goals that you've picked up on. And did you know that words and thoughts carry emotional charges? And those emotions affect your physiology. They affect the way you sit or stand and the way you walk or speak. And your physiology can cause you to feel successful or feel depressed. It can cause you to feel confident or feel like a loser. And how you think and how you carry yourself can influence your beliefs about your capabilities, which in turn can impact on how you behave and the actions you're willing to take. This in turn affects the results you'll get in your life. So the way we hold ourselves, you can look at, if you start looking at people just in general, not in a critical way, but just when you're out and about, and just notice how they carry themselves and what message, what unconscious message they give you when you observe them. Whether they look like they're confident or whether they look like they're apologetic or whether they look like they might be worrying or anxious. Now, there's a lot of information about the way we hold our body and what that says about us. And this isn't acting as if. It's watching people when they're not knowing that they're watched, that you see the mask stripped away. And you could have your video running in the house and just notice yourself as well. Because how we hold ourselves says quite a lot about how we see ourselves and what our relationship is like with ourselves when we're not with friends, when we're relaxed, when we're by ourselves, and when we're just sort of unconscious of, I don't mean unconscious asleep, but unconscious of being viewed, because very many people will adopt a different stance when they think they're being looked at. So, and we all wear these masks of confidence that aren't always aren't always as true of how we feel inside. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is that if you find that you are in a more round-shouldered, more downward, slightly low-feeling, depressed kind of body language state, if you pick that up, if you recognize that, if you notice that during the day when you're just moving around doing your everyday activities, you can change it in a second. You can think, yeah, that's how I used to be, and that's how I was feeling just a second ago, a bit low or a bit like, oh, what's the point? And just by changing your body language consciously, if you do that often enough, it will become a natural holding pattern for you, and it will change the way you think. Get your head up, your chin up, your eyes up, your shoulders back in a comfortable way, not shoulders back so that they are like strapped back and making you feel uncomfortable. But if you hold yourself in a more upbeat way, and if you do that on a regular basis, at least 21 to 28 days, catching yourself throughout the day, then it starts to affect how you think. So your physiology is very much linked to how your brain thinks about your goals or your activities. So in this lesson, we're going to be looking at this topic more, and we're going to look at what you can do to start to change limiting beliefs and doubts you have about yourself and your goal. If you're interested in finding out more about belief change, there's loads of books out there. I found Oliver James's book very interesting in terms of understanding more about early conditioning and its later impact. Some people really like the book, some people not so keen on it. So any books I mention, I'm not recommending you go out and buy them. You could pick them up and have a look and see whether they appeal to you and whether you're interested in finding out more about that. And of course, it's an aspect of early conditioning. He is a psychologist and he does have he does share theories with you. I found the book very useful when I read it. So you could have a look at that. A lighter book is Debbie Ford's The Dark Side of the Light Chaser. It's a lovely book, and it helps you with exercises to start working on and changing limiting beliefs. And of course, if you're interested in taking it further, you might want to look at neuro-linguistic programming, either reading about it or studying it, because that helps you to really understand how we operate in a mental way and a physical way as well. And it gives you some great exercises to start to change limiting beliefs on a deeper level. But let's go back to Bob Proctor. He says, your behaviour and body is an expression of what's going on in your mind, which is what I was saying to you a moment ago. He says the brain is not the mind, it's an electronic switching system. And if you want to work for it, if you want it to work for you in the external world, you're going to need to change your vibration, which means changing your thoughts and what's going on in your internal world. Now, you can find out more about this if you want to look into Bob Proctor or something called Heart Math, and you'll see that in your workbook as well. And many big name motivational speakers remind us that we're in charge of how we feel, even if we think that we aren't, and that true change starts from within. And I've already said to you that if you catch yourself, your physiology being a bit low, you might notice, actually my thoughts aren't that great at the moment. And if you change the way you stand and the way you hold yourself, you can change the way you think as well. So we've covered that already. So I want you to remember this. When your thoughts and your feelings, when your goals and your attitudes are in alignment, change is possible and easier. So we're going to get your body language to improve your thoughts, which is going to make you feel better. And then we're going to align that to the goal. And your attitude is a cluster of thoughts that you have. And we want to get those in alignment with the goal, working with the goal. And that's part of your motivation, knowing why you want the goal, moving you towards it. When you've got all of that working for you, change is going to be possible and easier. At any one time, people have got the real world, whatever that means, going on for them, their reality, their physical world. They've also got their mental world, their thought world. They've got emotions that they're feeling on a regular, daily basis. And they're also thinking about what things mean and what the purpose is around their actions. And all of this is going on unconsciously, mostly unconsciously. Now, the thing is, because they're unconscious, when the areas of thoughts and feelings and the physical world and the emotional and the meaning and purpose worlds, unconscious thoughts, when they're not in alignment, then we're going to be out of sorts, we're going to be uncertain, we might be feeling negative, we're going to feel torn apart, we won't know how to achieve our goals. But when those areas are in alignment and when they work together, which is what coaching is about, helping you become aware of what's going on so you can change it, when they're working together, then we can take action on our goals easier and quicker, and we can become clear about what our blocks are, what might be in our way. You see, often our physical reality does not reflect our higher purpose or our thoughts about how we'd like life to be, and that can impact on us in the form of negative mind chatter or bad thoughts, and that creates emotional reality and causes us to feel low or fed up. Now, when we experience any feelings that are negative or not good or make us feel unhappy, we might decide not to set goals because we might go, well, what's the point? We might decide not to improve ourselves. We might wallow in negativity because that's how we've been programmed to see life as being. Or based on our experiences, it's what we've decided is how our life is going to be. Coaching and this program is very much about interrupting that cycle and challenging it so that you can get out of this downward negative spiral and stop repeating the old patterns that have taken you to where you are now, day in and day out. So basically, if you don't like an aspect of your life that you're living, or you don't like the way your life is at the moment, you've got to identify what's working well and what isn't working, what needs to be changed. Identify the area, identify what you want, identify what you don't want, then set some possible, set some realistic goals. And this works for intangibles as well. By intangibles, I mean capabilities within you about confidence, which is an intangible, or happiness or success. They're intangibles. It works just as well for those, as I've already shared with you. And then you need to take some action to bring what you want into your life. So I'd like to ask you to select one area of your life that you want to change or you want to improve, and it might be an area that fits around one of the three goals that you have already selected. It's always a good idea to work with what you've started with already, but it's always up to you. So three goals, which area of your life would you like to work on? You can pick a completely different one if you want, but it can start to get too big and too much. So please do that now. Write down the area of your life that you want to change or improve. And it could be that it fits with one of the goals that you've already selected. Do that now, please. Now, in your workbook, you'll see that there is a table for you. And what I want you to do is, now that you know the area that you want to work on, let's say it's going to be your career, I want you to write down any limiting beliefs that you hold around that area. So you'll see that in the table. So I've given you some examples in there of relationship, health, career, etc. What beliefs do you hold about yourself in this area? It'd be a really good idea for you to stop the audio and do that first. We can do this step by step. Now, by doing that, you're going to be able to identify limiting and empowering beliefs that you currently hold in that area of your life. And it might take you longer than just this session, because sometimes we can think of a certain number of beliefs that we have about that area, and then sometimes we just have things pop into our head as we go along. So when you've done that, then I also want you to do the next step, which is, what beliefs or thoughts do you have about your capabilities in this area? And maybe you already covered that when you looked at your beliefs about yourself. Or maybe you've got a different way of looking at it now that we're identifying capabilities. So if it's career and you know what area of your life you want to work in, I'm going to use coaching throughout if that's okay with you as an example. So you want to become a coach, as I did when I started looking for something different to teaching. And the capabilities that I had that were positive were that I had already taken some training that helped me to be able to listen. And that's a capability that I was pleased that I had. I had some uncertainties. I had some beliefs about been able to build a business that weren't so positive. So I wrote those all down. Of course, I've changed that and moved on from that. But this is when I first started out. I also had some beliefs in my capabilities about people mattering to me, about really caring about people. And of course, that's a positive capability. Is this making sense to you? So I want you to get your beliefs and thoughts about your capabilities to be able to work in the area of relationship, health, career, whatever area that you've picked. And you'll see this on your workbook, so it'll make more sense. Now, in a separate list, I'm asking you to list any limiting beliefs that arise from this exercise. So the two exercises you've just done, you're now going to be pulling out the limiting beliefs and having them in one column, and then list any empowering beliefs that arise from the exercise. So the first exercise was beliefs in general, and now we're going into specifics, limiting and positive. Please do that now. And now that you've done that, I want you to notice, what do you focus on most when you listen to yourself talking or when you're thinking about your area or your topic? You might not be able to do that thoroughly. That might be one of your things to notice over the coming week. But have a go anyway. Do you notice that you focus mostly on what you want, which is the positive, or do you notice that you focus mostly on what you don't want? Now, there's no point in pretending here. Sometimes we lie to ourselves because we want to pretend that we're more positive than we are. I've been guilty of that. When I first started on my personal development program, I thought I was a really positive person, and yes, I was. But actually, I was more focused on what I didn't want in life than on what I did want. I had some idea that that was wrong or bad. It's not. It just is. It's just a fact. It's a way of operating. I didn't want to keep on. You see what I'm saying there? I didn't want to keep on focusing on what I didn't want. So I looked at how can I start to move myself towards thinking about what I do want? What would I like instead? So I started becoming aware of my language and what I was saying. And step by step, I was able to move towards what I wanted more than towards what I didn't want. I hope this is making sense to you. I still operate from what I don't want at times. However, I'm more towards what I do want now when I set my goals. It just makes life a little bit easier. But either way, it's just the way you operate. It's not wrong. I need you to be very clear about that. It's just an operating way. But we want you to be clear about it. So when you've done that, you can then fill the last column in, which is, I now want to focus on. What do you want to focus on? So now you know that you focus on A, B, C and D, which were negative, and maybe A and B, which was positive. What do you want to focus on most? What you don't want or what you do want? Again, just get clear about what you think about this. So I hope you've done that before continuing, because it's really important. Each piece that we do takes you on to the next step in order for you to be able to set your goals. So now that you've got your table done, you should be very clear about how you operate. And now you know this, and now that you can see in front of you how you think about this area of your life, how can you start to create new ways of seeing the world in terms of this area of your life? What do you need to look for? Please stop the audio and answer that question now. So if you're working with a coach, it's so much easier because you can explore it, you can really get into it, and you can start to focus on what you need to look for in order to start to create this area of your life in a more positive way so that you can bring more of it into your world. So answer that question now, please. And next point. What intentions do you need to set at night in order to work towards this new way of looking at your world? So we already looked at intentions before, and intentions are a really great way of programming your mind. So what intentions would you like to set? And you can do them at night time. You might think about them when you wake up in the morning as well. But as you're going to sleep, you're moving into that theta brainwave state just before you drift off. What intentions would you like to program that you can start to focus on so you can start to bring them into your life the next day and the day after that? Do that now, please. And the last point on your worksheet. What consistent action will you need to take in order to bring what you want to believe into your life rather than what you used to believe? So basically that's saying, if you used to, looking at your list of beliefs, if you used to believe you'd never be able to get a job that you loved, and you now want to believe it's possible I could get a job I loved? What actions will you need to take in order to make that start to become a truth or a reality? Please do that now. As Tony Robbins says, the past does not have to equal the future. Limiting beliefs can be changed if you believe they can, but if you don't believe they can, then they can't. But to do this, you have to wake up from your limiting stories. You have to wake up from your decisions and your past experiences. Buddha's reported to have been asked if he was an angel, and he replied no. Then he was asked if he was a god, and again, his answer was no. So what are you then? A follower asked. I am awake, Buddha replied. So the question is, are you? You see, if you're happy being unhappy, no problem. But if you're not, it's time to wake up from your cultural hypnosis and trance-like state. Stretch, rub your eyes, look closer, and then shake off what you no longer require. Literally, dance or rebound or exercise of some sort is really great to do whilst imagining yourself really waking up. Roll up your sleeves, get down to creating the new beliefs you want to implant in place of the old ones. This program can really help you. And if you have someone like a coach to support you, the change can be even quicker. But you have to want to do it, you have to know why you're doing it, and you need to know what you want instead. Science is now working with epigenetics, which say that we can consciously and unconsciously impact upon and change our genes. That's fantastic news. I hope you'd agree with me on that. And there's so many placebo studies out there, which you can research if you're interested, that show the power of the mind in allowing the body to heal itself if it wants to. And Dr. Bruce Lipton and Lee Poulos, they write and lecture on how thoughts can affect cells. I've already mentioned HeartMath to you, the Living Matrix. That shares information on heart rate variable and how it's affected by thought. And you might want to get clued up with evidence that you need, if you need to have some evidence, so that you can make these changes. Especially if, like me, you like some proof. Go look for it. This might be one of the things that you put in that you need to do in order to make these beliefs happen for you. Get clued up. And if you're happy just believing and trusting in yourself and the process, then fantastic, that's enough. Go for that. But if you need that proof, there is lots of it out there, lots of experiments that you can go research, and lots of evidence to suggest that you are more in control than you think. Now, work with who you are rather than who you think you should be. For me, when I work with clients, that's key. We've got to work with where you are and who you are and take you forward towards where you want to be. There's so much great stuff that will be going on with who you are right now. And part of my work with people is helping them embrace their shadow, as Jung said, but taking their shadow into the light and helping them to work with the parts of themselves that they may have disowned or they don't like or they try to ignore within them, and getting them to work with those to bring them back home to a place where they can start to operate with the light side of them as well. It gives you great peace and harmony and a sense of just being. And so in order to find those dark places, we need to do some of the work that you've already been doing, and some of them reside in our limiting beliefs. So let's work with who you are, and then let's help you transform into the person that you'd like to be, because it's who you really are rather than who you think you should be. So I want you to remember that your unconscious mind is like a little seven-year-old, and it's like it looks up to the big brother conscious mind. So if you tell it that it's stupid or you give it other limiting messages, it believes you. Now, is that how you'd want to speak to an impressionable child? Would you go around telling somebody else's little kid they were stupid or an idiot or not very bright or they don't deserve good things? I mean, it's unlikely that you'd do such a thing. And yet, we do this to ourselves all the time. So I want you to start, when working with limiting beliefs, being kinder to yourself. I want you to start to notice how you speak to yourself sometimes, and I want you to catch it, and I want you to start to challenge your conscious thinking so that you can start to impact on your unconscious beliefs about yourself. And this doesn't mean that we're going to pretend that there isn't a problem. Limiting beliefs into positive doesn't mean that we're going to ignore the limiting beliefs and hope that they'll go away, because as Tony Robbins says, it's pointless looking at your garden and saying there are no weeds, there are no weeds, there are no weeds. He says the suckers will take your garden over if you don't pull them out. So instead, what we want to do is we want to identify the weeds. We do want to pull them up, but we want to plant a flower in its place. And then we want to feed and nurture and water that flower daily. And then get on with taking action towards your goals. And I think that's a wonderful little statement from Tony Robbins, great advice. And he's a very motivational speaker and teacher. And I like that visual, that picture. So we're not pretending when we say affirmations that the limiting beliefs don't exist, because they do, they're there, they're real. But what we do want to do is we want to go to them. We want to check out if they are a weed. And if they are, we're going to dig them up. We're going to do our best to dig up the roots. And sometimes that takes a little bit longer. We need to take a bit more action. And we just want to place something that's more loving and more beautiful in the place of where that weed was, so that it can grow into something that's more beneficial and attractive and helpful, and that supports us in moving towards our goals. So now it's your turn to work on any beliefs that have been stopping you, and you've got a list of them. And if you haven't, you need to stop and you need to go look at them. And if you just don't have any limiting beliefs, then well done, that's absolutely fabulous. But if it's just that you didn't take time to do the exercise earlier, you need to do that now, please. So get started and become aware of where you focus in terms of your area that you chose earlier. Get clear about positive or negative focus, positive or negative beliefs that could be impacting on the area. And start thinking about your beliefs around your capabilities in this area as well. So that now that you know what you believe about yourself and your goals, you'll be able to answer the following questions. So please write in your journal, share with your buddy or your coach. What did you discover? If you put all of that exercise into a couple of sentences or a paragraph, what did you discover? And how did that make you feel? Can you see what your challenges are? If yes, again, sentences or paragraph. If no, take more time to reflect. Please go speak this over with someone, talk it over with someone, so that you can check what your challenges are in terms of the area of life you chose, the beliefs that you may have, the focus you may have, attitude you may have towards it. What challenges are there in terms of you being able to take action on this area? And can you see what your strengths are? Please make a note of those. And if not, again, you need to stop this and you need to find your strengths. We all have strengths. We sometimes just need someone to help us pull them out. So by now, there will probably be a list of limiting beliefs that you want to work on. So I'd like you to list them again, either in your workbook or your journal or on a piece of paper, and write a clear list of the limiting beliefs you have around goal number one, then goal number two, and then goal number three. Please do that now. List any limiting beliefs you have around each of your three chosen goals. Of course, if you've only picked one or two to work with on this program, you're only going to be able to do it for what you have. But please do that now. Okay, so by now you've got a list for each of those goals. So identifying the obstacles is a huge step forward, and we're going to be looking at them in the next week, and we're going to be applying some techniques to them. But before we do that, there's more self-awareness to get going on. So let's check out your language around goal number one, number two, and number three. When you write and when you say each of your goals, one at a time please, which of the statements applies most accurately to it? I.e., do you think goal number one is hard, or is it easy? Is it impossible, or is it something else? Please tick one or more if they feel right for each of the goals. See the table that you've got in your workbook, and you'll see that there's a list of headings across the top, and goal one, goal two, and goal three. Please do that table now before you move on. Okay. So now, to help you decide which one to work on first, you need to prioritise the three goals according to how you like to work. So do you historically like to work on the easiest goal first, or the easiest thing first, or do you like to work on the hardest or the most difficult? Please get clear now so that you're going to be able to make a choice. Write your findings as per the example in your workbook. And remember, there's no right or wrong. You're working with who you are, not who you think you should be. So please do that now. You'll see point one, I like to do the easiest goal first. This feels, and then I've put good and comfortable, but you've got to put your own statement in. Or, I'm not that keen on challenging goals as I worry about my capabilities to achieve them, so I may start this one alongside number one and then go to it to and fro between the two, but I know I'll probably not complete it if it gets too difficult or if the obstacles are too challenging, so I'm going to need some support or help with this one. You see what I'm putting in there for you? I need you to do your own things. These are my examples for you. And then it could be goal number three, I might put off doing the hardest goal and procrastinate about it forever or until I have to do it. It won't feel good though, either way, and I'll probably worry about doing it and also about not doing it. Who could help me? Who might I get to do some or all of it for me? What's the easiest or first step? So I've made an assumption there with my example that I like to do the easiest goal first and that goal number one is the easiest. And then I've said that the second goal for me is challenging and here's what I think about being challenged. This isn't me, by the way. This is me giving you an example. And then goal number three, I might put it off because it's too hard and actually there's some stuff going on around things being hard for me. There might be failure. It might be fear of success and having to maintain it, or it might be some other fears, and that's why I'm feeling like this about goal number three. So they're my examples. I need you to do that now, please, to stop the audio and to get clear about what do you think about each of your goals in terms of the adjectives we've used around them being easy or hard or difficult, etc., and get very clear about that as per the example right now, ideally working with someone on this, but go do that now, please. Okay, so welcome back. I'm giving you an example in the workbook, as you'll see. I mentioned it's going to be around coaching because that's nice and easy for me to share with you. So take the goal you want to work on first and get clear about your beliefs about it and your ability to achieve it. So I give you an example in the workbook of being a new coach. So my three goals might be, number one, to get my website and cards produced, and I consider that easy. Number two, to have 4 paying clients per week within the next 6 months. That might be challenging. And to become a full-time freelance coach. Initially, when I'm out setting up my training, doing my training program, I might think it might not happen. It might be impossible. It doesn't matter if this is true or not. It's what I think as the client. Now, I decide that I want to look at the challenging goal first. So I'm actually going to go and work with number two first. So here's my positive beliefs about my goal, about myself. And you'll see there's a list of things there that new coaches might believe about themselves. But here's my negative or limiting beliefs about myself or about my goal in the right-hand column. And again, you can see those listed there. Now, with that kind of awareness and honesty, this client, and this could be you listening, can start to understand what could stop them from taking steps forward, from moving towards becoming a fully qualified coach who gets paying clients. So that's the exercise. I'm bringing this to your attention now in case you didn't do it already, because you need to stop and do this. That's the exercise I want you to do now, and we'll start to work on your limiting beliefs and how to start to change them next week. But you're going to need to do this exercise before we can do that. So it's very important that you do that before next week's session. Okay, so here we are at the end of our session together today. And I just want to recap with you that we had a look at where your beliefs come from and we looked at programming. We've played with the idea that beliefs can be changed, mentioned epigenetics as part of proof, and there's lots of other stuff out there for you in terms of working with positive and negative thoughts, and reminding you that you are in charge of your thoughts and your feelings and encouraging you and asking you to consider waking up and maybe remember the Buddha story to support you in that. I also talked to you about the video and maybe running that so that you can see what you how you stand and how you look to you and how you sound if you've got kids as well. Just having it running for half an hour or so, but doing it in a not being on camera kind of way. So that's what we've been looking at today, to really get in touch with who you are so we can work with who you are and take you towards your goal and towards you building skills and capabilities so that you become more of who you really are in your core rather than the programming that you've been given that may or may not be supporting you. So next week, we're going to be adding to your toolbox to help you break free of limiting beliefs. We're going to be looking at personal development techniques to support your changes. There's going to be some experiments backing up affirmations and what you need to do to make them powerful and life-changing. And here's your exercises, your personal development exercises that we've worked on or that you're going to be working on over the coming week. You're going to identify the area you want to work on. You're going to write your goals down. You're going to label them. If you haven't already done all this, you're going to get clear about limiting and empowering beliefs. And you're going to identify what you're focusing on and what you do and don't want. And here's your questions to put around your room, in your diary, in your car for the coming week, for week six. So your questions are, I believe I can change my limiting beliefs in this area of, and then you put your area in, and I know this is true because. So you're going to be asking yourself that or making that statement. It could be your intention before you go to sleep, and you might add a little visualization with it. These only have to last for 20 seconds. I'm not looking for you to be spending time on these at night time. It's not a big laborious job. It's a, I believe I can change my limiting beliefs in the area of, and I used career earlier. I know this is true because you start to state that as you go to sleep. So question is, how can I be more awake each day around the changes I desire? How do I know I'm living my life in accordance with my values and beliefs? As I think about my goals this week, what are my feelings about them? These are your three that we started with from the early sessions. What beliefs come up for me around them? Are they positive? Are they negative? Maybe they're both. What's really important about these goals and succeeding at them? So they're your questions to ask yourself every day as you move through the week. And of course, you have your weekly action plan. And you're going to have this every week, as I've already said to you. So where are you now with your goal? With goal one, with goal two, with goal three? Remember, you're choosing to work on one or more goals. Write a sentence saying what you think about your number one goal, and then do the same for the other two goals if you're working on more than one. Same questions going to be every week. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to achieve this goal? Get really in touch with how much you want to. 1 means I don't, and 10 means I couldn't want it more. What 3 steps could you take this week to help you move closer to your goal? And then write them below. And even though it's what 3 steps could you take, I want you to then look at those answers and say, which ones are you going to take? You can take all 3, or you're just going to take 1. Obviously, the more you take, the quicker you'll get there. But what could you do this week? And then commit to taking those actions. And then what have you done over the last 6 weeks to take you closer to this goal? Write your progress to date below. We're going to build on this every single week. And you're going to be encouraged to read it throughout the program so that you can see just how far you've come. So there's no optional extra for you this week, apart from the reading material that I mentioned earlier. So you might want to go look for Debbie Ford or for some other books on changing limiting beliefs or changing beliefs or understanding beliefs. There's your reading list, of course, but there's no other optional extra than reading for you. So I wish you a fabulous week. I hope you enjoy becoming aware and waking up to your limiting beliefs if you have any. If you don't, well, then that's just great. Then you can be aware if you haven't got any. You can just be aware in case they do start to pop up, and you can start to notice other people's. And most people have some limiting beliefs in some areas around their goals, or doubts, or worries, or anxieties, or fears, if you don't call them limiting beliefs. So have a fabulous week. Enjoy your exercises. I will so look forward to working with you again next week. Take care.